Welcome to the shitposter.world anime review podcast. I am Dad, your host. With me is Cool Boy Mew.
Hey.
Yes, we have a new website now. I'm pretty sure that 100% of our listenership is already on the Fediverse, but it's worth mentioning. Shitposter.club has now taken over the world.
I've been telling Moon for a while that the original instance was basically on GNU Social, and then he did a custom GNU Social to early Pleroma migration, and the GNU Social instance was basically imploding. And then we went from early Pleroma to now, we basically got a shitload of different users throughout the ages. We have massive users like me or Moon that basically federate or as federated with basically all servers that ever existed. So yeah, the instance was starting to implode and he couldn't just throw hardware at it. And he already spent like an insane amount of time fixing shit. I've been telling him for a while, you just, at some point we have to reset. And that finally happened.
Yeah, shitposter.club had a good run for 8 years. That's ancient by internet standards.
That's kind of crazy, considering there's been many more instances that just died, revived, or just simply died and never came back.
Yeah, I had backup accounts on several of them.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get that order of business out of the way in case people are confused. Oh, also in the news, GameFAQs is fucked now.
Oh, it's over. Basically, we went from being owned by GameSpot to CBS to then being owned by Fandom. And Fandom are basically starting to take over. And oh my fucking God, they already don't understand. Okay, so it's been historically funny because every time GameFAQs as a new admin, they scare them the shit out. They scare the shit out of the admin. In the past, years ago, they actually tried having a community manager and that didn't even last 3 days.
Man.
Yeah, that didn't even last 3 days. But the reality is that GameFAQ is a dying website. Nobody goes to forums anymore, and that is sad as fuck.
Plus, facts have been almost completely replaced by wikis and YouTube walkthroughs.
Yeah, more or less, pretty much. And so, basically, who is on GameFAQ more or less? People that has been there for 20 years. And then
same old Spurgs.
Yeah, and when you come in and tell people how to act, they kind of don't like it. So, truth be told, as all websites, GameFAQ has kind of been going to the shit since 2014.
Yeah, when did what's his name CJC sell it to GameSpot? That was like 2000 something.
Yeah, and it's been slowly getting worse. And of course, there's the politics bullshit. I've just been complaining about it in the Fediverse, but the wokes are sorry, the mods are kind of woke now. So if you start talking shit about like anything woke, like something even just simple, like you know how they try to prop up black protagonists or something, and then you wonder, is this woke? And then it ends up being woke. It's shit. It's coldy, etc. Nobody wants to see the shit. And then of course, obviously, when you see like something that has that has like black protagonists or something, you just wonder, is this woke? Is this gonna be shit? And then, I try to explain this with people. People have fucking pattern recognition. So they see this and they just kind of wonder if it's woke. And I got like berated for racism or some shit like that.
Fucking gay.
Which is just fucking hilarious because every time I get into these arguments, my arguments ends up being like, oh, okay, but this is stupid because XXX, it's like their own fucking fault. That it is that people see it this way now. It's basically who the fuck benefits from this happening? Who the fuck? And obviously, I always get proven right because they always end up moderating me because my arguments are always look, just talking about this is going to get me moderated. And lo and behold, I get moderated. Always proving me fucking right. So it's just like who the fuck benefits? Nobody. Like I'm supposed to just fucking lie down and just take the ass fucking? No, I'm not. So if anything, like what is it supposed to do? I'm supposed to like it? No, fuck off.
So
But it
I've also been using GameFAQs for many years, ever since I was a teenager.
everyone did.
Yeah, it was great. The walkthroughs themselves were great. The message boards were both fun and informative. Like everything on the internet, it's gotten worse over the years. But I just looked it up. It was 2003 that it was sold to CNET Networks for 2.2 million bucks. I'm not going to blame him. I would also take that deal so I could retire.
But yeah, now the fandom people, which already has a shit reputation because fandom is a fucking shit show. It was Wikia before, which had quality wikis, I think. And now
Yeah, sometimes just fandom really sucks.
it became fandom, and then you have all these ads, all these fucking pop-ups. And how I usually describe it is that fandom, how it is. It will basically completely shit on nobody whose quality will ever want to touch the shit. So the wikia, all the wikis will just those that were of quality, they will just go to shit because nobody wants to touch this.
Yeah, there are
And
several wikis for Dragon Ball. The fandom one is the worst. Uses names from the English dub and has all sorts of badly sourced information, sometimes outright bullshit, and of course ads everywhere. And even if you have ad block, it still has a shitty interface. Just there's nothing good about a fandom network.
That's usually how it goes. The thing is that having a wiki like this where you can just make anything, it attracts the can't-do people, the people who cannot be asked to rent a server and actually self-host. Because believe it or not, there's a lot of people who can't even do this much, and that's kind of a it's a great how to say it. it actually prevents the shitty people from starting wikis usually. You'll notice that most of the fantastic wikis are self-hosted. I know the JoJo one that we used years ago for a big JoJo episode. It was self-hosted, and my God, it was quality. You could tell in the design of everything. But then you
had the right kind of Spurgs, not this corporate horse shit.
Yeah, exactly. And now, since any Spurgs can just start it, you have the Spurg who ends up controlling the flow of information. And because of them, and because of how the site is, all the quality people, they just won't be coming to the website to edit your articles. So it's just kind of a downward spiral that's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And yeah, this is why fandom is shit. And then fandom are coming to GameFAQ. GameFAQ has long since been known to be like very toxic. However, the user base has been there for like 20 fucking years. And they're trying to clean it up, and it's not going well. They have closed the politics board. They have semi closed the board called Current Event, which is the board is a fucking shit show. But you can't just fucking do this, man. You can't just come and shit up the board culture like this, because the reality is that they're worried of new people coming in and seeing all this shit, but nobody new's coming to GameFAQ, man. It's just not happening. The site has been slowly dying for years, and now they're actually trying to take care of the troll problem, but of course, I just know that they're not gonna do anything about the LGBT troll. I say this because I've seen how things go in threads. The things get a little political. All right, so then the thread gets a little political, and then like the anti-woke people come. And then from the anti-woke side, you have not even like very controversial like statement, other than the LGBT community is kind of annoying online, which they are. And then that side gets heavily moderated, and then you have like the pro-LGBT people who let's be honest, they're all fucking trolls who know what they're doing. And then they get away like calling people phobes, bigots, etc. They get away with all this shit. They get away with shitting the entire thread with this crap, and they never get hit. So this was already happening in the last few years. And in my opinion, it's about to get even fucking worse.
Just another example of the homogenization, the corporatization, the enshittification of the internet.
Yeah, that's what I've been complaining about that a lot. Do not go under corporate websites, because this is usually what will happen. Untouchable mods are kind of they're a shitty thing. I had a better argument about this. I wrote a lot about this, but corporate websites just kind of don't give a shit about being fair. They kind of don't give a shit about a lot of things. So they say no politics, but we all know that this political group will completely get away with everything. And
right. the things they want are human rights, not politics, and therefore cannot be questioned, but the things you want are politics and must be censored.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's gonna drive away everyone else that was left. And well, there was just like two big threads with the two new admins, And one of the admin basically went mask off and told everyone that fuck off. This is what it is, and they kind of don't care. And then they lock the thread, and that's about it. It's not going well. The thread got to 500 messages. It locked itself, and there wasn't a third one.
Oh,
So
shame for display.
things are not going well for the new owners. As usual, you cannot just come into a 20 years old community, no matter how much of a shit show it became, and start ordering people around. It's not gonna happen, man.
Yeah, I've seen private forums and such be utterly destroyed in this way.
Yeah, and on top of that, the new admins came as part of the trust and safety team. So you know it's gonna be a fucking shit show. They're
Yeah.
saying that GameFAQs is not safe as it is. And
Not safe, it's the internet.
yeah, you know exactly the kind of corporate HR speak that it is.
Yeah.
It's that means very bad thing, but anyways, the site was already kind of over, and now it's even more over than before. Thankfully, all the facts have long since been archived. They're already on archive.org, so there you go.
Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes. That's a useful resource. I saved a copy myself. I hate to see a good website go to shit. I've written one FAQ in my life. It's still up there, but
Darn.
I use the message boards on several anime games quite a bit in the 2000s, and I did have a good time. I did learn a lot about various PS1 RPGs, for example, but yeah, like we've been saying, it sucks now. Just
I
you
had a
have to go
good
to the
time too.
Fediverse.
Even after things went to shit, but now I think it's really over. This is why people don't go to the corporate internet. It just always turned to shit. We need to go back to self-hosted forums and stuff like this. Man, I've made friends that I still talk to this day, but of course I've made friends that you know
Become
exactly.
gigantic shit libs, and you don't
Yeah,
want to deal with their
exactly.
bullshit anymore.
The
Yeah.
2014, I remember going into a Discord and they were literally like going the drum, and I just couldn't fucking take it anymore. I like where we are on shitposter.world because it's just not an echo chamber. We federate a little bit with everyone, no matter how extreme they are to the left or right or everything between that. And that's kind of how I like my internet, a little crazy.
Yeah, I like talking to people who don't necessarily agree with me on everything. I like being like forced to defend my beliefs. Hell,
Yeah,
I don't
well,
even agree. I don't even agree with our admin on some things, but I'd still take a bullet for him.
and despite that, I feel like there's been not a lot of fight on our side of the Fediverse. It's not that, well, it's not that it never happens, but it's somewhat rare compared to everywhere else.
Yeah, I've invited quite a few people to the Fediverse, and they all seem to enjoy it. It does feel like the 2000s internet when most things were better. I guess we have better bandwidth now. That's the major difference. It's easy to
Well,
share videos and
and
such.
2014 definitively happened. You can still feel it on the Fediverse, but it's much less worse than anywhere else.
Yeah, sometimes I see Trump derangement syndrome and other various political nonsense, but generally, I've had a very good time the past 8 years on the Fediverse.
Yeah, me too. I've been really having fun. I'm really glad I'm on the Fediverse. Because man, I think I'd just go fucking nuts if I were like anywhere if I were stuck anywhere else.
Right. Oh, can you imagine being a Reddit user and not knowing that the rest of the internet exists?
Yeah, and actually on Reddit, even on Reddit things, I check it here and there, and it depends on the subreddit, but I've seen things are starting, like the pendulum is starting to swing back a little bit. Of course, it always starts getting a bit too shitlib when things get a little too spicy for Reddit. But it seems to be happening. People are kind of sick of this shit. And our material condition are really, really bad right now. So people just can't ignore it like they used to.
Oh, yeah. Infrastructure is falling apart. I see, like, public transportation and city streets. Everything's turning to shit. And the cost of living is astronomical. That's here in the United States. It's even more in Kanuckistan.
Yeah, and this is why things are kind of swinging back, because the retards have destroyed everything.
I sure hope so, but yeah, we try to keep a positive attitude here on the shitposter.world anime podcast, so maybe we should talk about some stuff we actually enjoy.
Sure, I've recently finished Mega Man Battle Network 2.
Okay, I've never played any of those games, but I respect them.
Really? You should buy the collection. It's or just emulate them if you prefer. They're pretty good, but they're painful to 100%. I 100% won, and then the 100% for 2 is even worse, because there's a final secret area where if you get in, you cannot save. And in this game, your health doesn't recover automatically after a battle. So yeah.
In these games, you place your character on a 3x3 grid, and that affects the way you attack the enemies on the other side.
Yeah, and then you have it's basically cards. You have a card folder, and then you have 5 cards at the beginning of the battle. And after a certain time, you can draw other cards. You can draw cards based on if they're the same type or if they have the same letter code.
Yeah, I always wondered why they have cards in these electronic games. Maybe it's just because people are used to playing card games for centuries, or because they're already addicted to playing cards, but it seems to be working out.
Yeah. Well, in the Mega Man Battle Network universe, they're chips.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the old-timey conception of the internet, where it's like Tron, where you can step into this magical computer world and attack each other with computer parts and shit.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in that universe, you have a net navy, some sort of like super intelligent. Super intelligent AI companion. And then you can jack in into the internet or into electronics. And then you get random encounters, which are viruses. They have all their universe sorted out like this. And then, of course, there's villains with the other net navy. And then you have, like, dungeons, which are usually some sort of electronics. The universe is really, really well made. They're really, really fun games. And if you plan to get 100%, oh, my God, it's tough. I don't want to do it for Mega Man Battle Network 2, because to get 100%, it's even harder. You have to basically S-ranks all of the net navy, and the bosses becomes random encounters on the net, and they're kind of rare, and all of this is a pain in the ass. And I just checked the requirement for 100% for 2, and I was like, fuck, it's gonna be even even worse than Megan Ball Network 1, and that fucking broke me. So I think I'll pass for now.
Yeah, you don't have to 100% a game. You can just play another one or watch some more cartoons. There's plenty of them.
Yeah, but I really wanted to beat the secret boss, which is Bass, and you need to 100% the game to be able to beat him. So that's a pain.
Yeah, if unique content is locked behind 100% completion, that could be irritating.
Yeah, exactly. And all of the Mega Man Battle Network games, they have unique content behind 100%. One of the reasons it's some content is so tough, it's because all of the games actually has a battle mode. So when it was in GBA, you could battle your friend. But with the new collection, you can battle online. So if you 100% it, that means that you have the final super strong chips and Navi cards, etc. So you can basically dab on your friend.
Yeah, I'm looking at reviews on the Steam page. They're saying there's DRM added that makes it harder to play and sometimes won't run on Steam Deck. But I assume you're playing on the Switch.
Yeah, I'm playing on the Switch. I got it physical. Because if I can get it physical, I really like my physical shit. I'm ready even to pay like big money to have it physical. But on Steam, for stuff I usually get on Steam, it's usually heavily discounted. Because, you know, digital versus physical.
Yeah, if a game's $5 and I'm even slightly interested in it, I'll probably buy it.
Yeah, exactly. There was like, talking of Mega Man, exactly, there was 20XX that I've been eyeing forever, and it was like $3 a few weeks ago, so I just picked it up. I'll play it eventually, or maybe never, because my Steam backlog is of 2000. Fucking bundled.
And a couple of months ago on this podcast, I mentioned the Gravity Circuit. It's a really good Mega Man clone from Finland.
Nice. Finland again. Jesus Christ, what are you doing?
Oh, they're just, I guess, being trapped inside their houses during their blizzards just makes them work on computers all the time, and the end result is some amazing games.
Oh, it's already on my wish list.
So, I've been playing Octopath Traveler 2. It came out about a year ago. But I just got hooked on it recently, and it's an improvement over the first one.
I never picked up the first one. It's a game I wanted to pick up, but eventually my backlog got out of fucking control.
Man, my backlog's so big, I don't even keep track of shit. Just not possible with all the games I want to play.
Yeah, I've been wondering if I should actually start maintaining. Because, you know, I'm moving soon, so I wonder when I'll be unpacking, should I update my backlogery with every physical game that I have? Or I should just abandon that shit and play whatever.
I sold most of my physical video games for rent money about a decade ago.
Jeez, that sucks.
It's fine. Most of them I can replace digitally.
Yeah, there's always that. But at some point in time, I realized that I had a nice collection of games. I had some pretty good games on Super Nintendo. And then I kept buying, and it never fucking stopped.
So, Octopath. It has that name because there are 8 main characters, and you go through their backstories, and they all meet up with each other in standard JRPG fashion. And you can create your own party from your 4 favorites. But it has a unique art style. Some people call it 2.5D, but it's like more like an enhanced version of SNES RPGs. So if you like Final Fantasy VI or Chrono Trigger, this is like a modern enhanced version of that. It's a really cool look.
I think Square calls it the 2D HD or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good name for it. It is high definition. There's a lot of detail for the surroundings, and the way it uses foregrounds and backgrounds has a great art style. I also enjoy the gameplay because there's this common criticism that JRPGs are all about mashing the attack command until the enemies die. So the Octopath games seem like a deliberate reaction to that. So how combat works is every enemy in the game, from basic random encounters to every boss, they have a number of shields that you can only break down by using certain elements or certain types of physical attacks. So if your team has a sword and an axe wielder and maybe fire and lightning magic, you can use those strategically to take away the enemy's shields and render them vulnerable. Because if you don't break the shields, they'll take like one third as much damage. So it's almost always essential unless you severely outlevel the enemies. So the result of this is every single encounter requires you to think, even regular random encounters. So you have to worry about the enemy's shields, how you're going to break them down. And so, some of the bosses do tricky stuff too, like they'll change their elemental weaknesses, or they'll summon minions who can temporarily block their weaknesses while the minions are still alive. It's fun stuff. It's also somewhat non-linear. It does a good job of funneling you to places you'd probably want to go, based on regular playthroughs. It even tells you the recommended character levels for each area. So if your party's level 15 and you step to another screen where it says level 50, you should probably get out of there unless you really know what you're doing. But with the 8 characters, you travel the world. You do another chapter of a character's story. You learn more about them and more about the world. And the story's okay. It's better than the first one. And stop me if you've heard this before. It has animal people who are oppressed by humans for no good reason.
You like saying that one. You like pointing that out.
It's all over the place in anime and JRPGs. But the wolf girl you can play as is probably my favorite character. She's like a better version of Gao from Final Fantasy VI. She can capture monsters and use their skills. So it's a smartly made JRPG. I really like it. Unfortunately, I was playing it earlier today and my computer fucked up and deleted my save.
Whoa,
I
what?
had 19 hours in it.
Don't you play on Steam, right?
No, I pirated it.
I
Yeah,
was saying
so I'm
that,
screwed.
yeah,
Look, I was
usually
gonna. It's too
Steam
expensive
plan.
for right now. I was gonna buy it when it went on sale and transfer my save over. The creators of this deserve money, but yeah, I lost my save.
In that case, you should really be making like a batch file, and that you can just run and make backups in some kind of like cloud folder or whatever.
Yeah, I know the folder where my saves are kept, so I'm gonna start over. I am using a cheat program to get through the early stages quickly, and then I'm gonna turn it off and resume where I left off because this game is really entertaining.
You might be able to install a non-deleter program, a non-delete program, and then find back your save, since it should not be like a big file. But you should probably attempt to do this right after the podcast, because if you have an SSD, the more you wait, the less chance there will be to recover the file.
All right, I'll look into that. So, Octopath Traveler 2, I strongly recommend it. It's just too expensive right now.
Yeah, I've been waiting for a discount for the first one, and I think I never got a discount that I was satisfied for on the Switch, so I never got it.
Yes, Squaresoft games tend to not get discounted very often.
No,
It's a weird business model.
that's the other way around. Usually in Canada, we get fucking screwed by big sale. Bro, I've seen sales on GameStop US that were like insane that we never get in Canada. I'm fucking pissed. But Square Games usually in it. Most of Square
Really?
Games, yeah. Even on the Switch, like the new Theatrhythm, Kingdom Hearts, I got it for $20 Canadian.
Oh, sweet.
I've seen collection of mana also go like way down. I know that Switch games usually get a bit less discount from Square, but then if you look at the PS4, PS5 side, the discounts are insane. At some point, there was like that big Kingdom Hearts collection with everything. It was $20.
Oh, that's sweet.
So yeah,
I guess
it's
I'm
pretty
going
insane.
by Steam sales only, because like
Yeah,
a lot of games 5+ years old are still being sold at full price by Squeenix.
I think their Steam sales never actually they rarely go that low, even for stuff that has been going that low for consoles. So I don't know what's going on with that, but yeah.
So, I've also been reading a lot of manga, as always. So, you ready to talk about that?
Sure.
So, the first is Drifting Dragons. So, this is a steampunk fantasy about people who hunt sky dragons and use their bodies for the meat, for the scales, the horns, even the blood. Like, even their fat is used as grease for cooking. They use every single part of the dragon. I know what you're thinking. Japanese comic, it's about hunting monsters. This is similar to whale hunting, isn't it? And yeah, dragons equals whales. This is about hunting whales.
There was a known ONA
Yeah.
of this in 2020, apparently.
Yeah, I got an anime before Dungeon Meshi did.
And there you go, it's the first recommendation in any list.
Yeah, it's not as good as Dungeon Meshi. The characters are not very interesting. Like, the protagonist is this a cowboy cop kind of guy who always jumps on top of the dragons without a care for his own safety because he just likes killing animals. But now, the main reason to read this is if you like recipes for fantasy food, or if you like blimps or whales. It's decent, but it's not as good as Dungeon Meshi.
So it's a lot like Dungeon Meshi in some way, but less good.
Yeah, it's just interesting that it got a anime before Dungeon Meshi did. So, next one is Confinement King, or Kankin-o. You have to be logged in to see this on Annie-list. It is porn.
Don't worry, I am logged in.
So this is about a teenage loser who's contacted by a demon girl who gives him the power to create a room out of nowhere. And it works like a bag of holding in Dungeons and Dragons. So he has a private space, and you might be thinking, is he going to use this power for wacky shenanigans? No, he uses it for rape. There's a lot of
Course.
rape here. It's all about this prick getting revenge on the girls who spurned his advances in high school, so he brainwashes them into loving him. It's just a fucked up and retarded power fantasy. I didn't really like it. Next one. Dungeon ni hisomu yandere na kanojo ni ore wa nandomo kodosareru. Or, my yandere girlfriend hiding in the dungeon kills me over and over again.
Hot?
Yeah. So, this is about a boy in a village who gets screwed over by other villages. He's falsely accused of murder of his own girlfriend, who he loved to death, but was killed by other jealous villagers. And so they condemn him to death, which means throwing him into a dungeon. And in the dungeon, he immediately gets killed by a bugbear. But then he comes back to life seconds before the bugbear killed him. So he does this several hundred times before he's able to escape the clutches of this monster. I think it was over 200 times. No rest. But as he explores the dungeon, he makes good use of this save and reset ability. He becomes a decent fighter and he's able to kill some monsters. But then he comes across two women in the dungeon. They're both insane yandere's. And the first one, it's a girl who's trapped in this stasis field, and he rescues her, and she immediately falls in love with him. But now he can't get with her because he's still in love with the girl from the village who died, and he's trying to figure out a way to bring her back, or maybe go back in time and save her. And because of this, the girl he saved in the dungeon, since she's yandere and she can't have the one she loves, she kills herself. He's distraught, he runs out into the dungeon and dies. This causes him to reset to before he even met the girl. So he decides not to talk to her, and he goes to another direction. And he meets a vampire girl, who kills him. Noticing a pattern here.
I mean, it's not like it was explained in the title.
So, after dying and resetting, he deals better with the vampire girl and ends up becoming her apprentice.
Oh.
So, he becomes the apprentice of this vampire girl and starts learning magic. And I really like the save and reset ability. It's like he's playing a game and he has save states. So, he can jump it between different instances of this dungeon, try to find the best way for him, and yes, every woman he meets is insane. So it only has a 57% score on AnyList, but I think it's higher than that. I'm really enjoying this.
I feel like Jones will enjoy this.
Yeah, I should tag him. It's the kind of kooky stuff he would like. And the last one is Stealth Symphony. So this is by the creator of Deadmount Death Play and Bakano and Durara. Yeah, unfortunately, it only went for 22 chapters before ending. But what is there is pretty good. So, a boy is cursed. A magical artifact has attached itself to his back. This artifact is a set of mechanical arms that counterattacks anything you throw at him. If you punch him, it punches you back 10 times as hard. You fire a laser at him, it somehow throws the laser back at you and protects the owner. But this gets the boy in trouble, since anything that rubs against him counts it as an attack. So he goes to a bodyguard agency and hires an invisible man, not to protect him, but to protect other people from him. This big cast of characters, this feels like it. If it was more popular, it could have been this big media franchise. Because there's so much to this cool world full of crazy magical creatures, ancient artifacts, and it just finishes too quickly. I was hoping for another 200 chapters to explore this world and all the characters it introduces, but no. By about chapter 15, I guess the author's editor told him to wrap it up because he wraps it up really quickly.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's a good read, but it's a short one. So I can recommend this, and I just wish there was more to it. All right, that's about all I got for this episode. Got anything else?
Not much. I've been playing a bit of the Yone game, the Love Live Sunshine spinoff,
Oh yeah.
the one made by Anticreate. I am not far in it so far. It's Metroidvania.
Yeah, that's on my
It
wish list.
seems really basic at first. Like you got like the tutorial area, but then immediately after the first boss, it opens up greatly immediately, and it doesn't seem badly designed, so I need to play that more.
Is this the one? No, that's a
No,
different one.
you posted the card game one. You might enjoy that because you enjoy card games, so.
Yeah. So this is the one you're thinking of, Blaze in the Deep Blue.
Yeah. It's available on all systems, I think.
It looks pretty rad. Long-time listeners will know I don't really care about the Love Live franchise. I know you do, Mew, but this still looks like a cool fantasy Metroidvania.
Well,
I'm
I mean
just
it's by Anticreate. Every game they've made, like they self-published, are pretty fucking good.
Yeah, they made a Blaster Master Zero. I love all three of those games. Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon. That game was pretty rad. Azure Striker: Gunvolt. Yeah, they have some good stuff.
Yeah, they have some good shit.
Yeah, I just got so many other games I want to play. I'm waiting for a price decrease because I do want to financially support the creators of good material. I do pirate a lot of shit, but it's try before you buy.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I always say, let's just say like something for the Switch piracy. I'd say it's a necessary evil for one reason, not one reason another, but it's a necessary evil because the earliest you have the piracy, the more people can actually archive stuff before they're taken down. They can actually analyze packets for online game, like maybe that Mario 99 game, was it that Mario 30? I don't remember. You can't play that game anymore. But maybe people has analyzed packets enough or has hacked it enough to make it functional again. But yeah, it's a necessary evil. This is shit when you've got outlets like Kotaku talking about emulating Metroid Dread that just came out. It's just kind of like, come on, dude. But if you can actually support them when you can, of course, please do. Because games are not free. If everyone pirated them, it's over, no?
I'm a big supporter of creators of entertainment that I like, which is getting increasingly rare in this shitty era, but there are still hardworking, talented people making games and other entertainment for us, and they deserve our money.
Yeah.
So even though I'm a big pirate, I'm also generous with the booty I collect.
That's perfectly fine in my book. That's perfect. That's how it should be, I think.
Yar.
Yeah.
All right, this will be a short episode, but we talked about some cool stuff.
Oh, hopefully the spring anime season 2023 review for anime of the year, hopefully next week.
Yep,
And
we're
then
working on it. Sometimes real life gets in the way, but we're working on it.
it's been tough lately. And then maybe in 2 weeks after, we will be talking about the current season, the spring 2024, the preview, as we call it usually.
Yep, I've already started watching some stuff.
Me too.
All right, come to the Fediverse, shitposter.world. It's the best website in the world. I'm going to add audio from the JoJo OVA of Dio shouting, "Zawaldo!"
Do it.
All right. Good night.
Later.